This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Melinda Welsh is founding editor of the Sacramento News and Review and helped launch this alternative weekly newspaper in 1989. She taught generations of reporters, photographers, and designers how to practice journalism, and many college students honed their craft under her mentorship. She stepped down as editor in 2012. Within 2 years, she had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and even after many treatments, doctors said she didn't have long to live. Melinda takes the story from there.
I didn't think I'd make it to my 60th birthday. I am unimaginably fortunate to be sitting here right now.
The circumstances in your life are so powerful. Can you tell me how you are now in mind, body, and spirit? I really want to hear this as a whole person view.
In mind, I'm definitely, you know, intellectually clear that, you know, I was saved by new breakthroughs in medicine, new medicines that use the body's fighting mechanism to fight cancer, the immune system. I'm very clear on that mentally, physically, and spiritually. It's, an education that everything comes together. I guess somehow I feel, though I know I owe my life to a great doctor, Dr. Alan Alghazi, and these new medicines, I'm also, you know, humbled by the whole experience. And I guess that's how I feel spiritually and otherwise.
What does your doctor say to you about the cancer, about your health now?
Well, I now live with this paradox, which is I am cancer-free, in full remission, but I still have the diagnosis of metastatic cancer. I still have to check in every 3 or 4 months, get a body scan, and make sure the cancer hasn't reappeared. And, you know, this was such big news to my husband and I when he first told us this, that my husband Dave emailed Dr. Alghazi the next morning saying, just to be clear, you know, we couldn't believe it. So he just wanted clarity. And so he just said, just to be clear, can we say Melinda is in remission and that she's cancer-free? And Dr. Alghazi emailed back very quickly saying, yes, yes, yes. We hadn't misheard. It really had happened that I was cancer-free.
Your husband, Dave Webb, so many people in town know and work with.
Yeah.
Let's go back in the cancer. I said you left Sacramento News and Review in 2012. In 2013, how was this cancer found?
Well, I actually stepped down as editor in 2012, but I kept writing for the paper till 2015. The cancer was found in 2014, and then it was 2015 when it went metastatic. In the beginning, you know, like any cancer patient, you start into treatment and you kind of do what your doctor says to do and get the surgeries and you do the chemotherapy and the radiation. And any cancer patient can relate to, you know, the fear that goes along with that and also the warm feeling of at least having a path ahead of treatment. But then when you get the metastatic news, you know, it's spread, that's when you really face some big choices.
It was a lump initially, right?
Yeah.
So what's the specific cancer? Because your doctor is a skin cancer expert. Is this a melanoma?
It's not a melanoma. Most of my doctors, you know, deduced that it was a skin cancer. It's officially metastatic squamous cell carcinoma of unknown primary. That means they never did find a primary. So it was a rare for a squamous cell cancer. When you don't find a primary, sometimes that means it's from the skin. And I had other reasons to believe it was from skin cancer. And that's, I think, part of what made me a responder to immunotherapy.
Going back to one of the two essays that you wrote for the LA Times, this is one from December 2015. It's headlined, "I have terminal cancer. I'm dying in a year-ish." That was such a great word because it really became the catchword for this vague timetable that said your sand is running down through the hourglass.
That's right. We can't tell you exactly when, but it's a year-ish.
And the phrase that the doctors used, according to this essay, was, "I'm sorry, we did find cancer."
Yes.
So the question you asked then was, how do I best spend the time I have left? And I wonder in all the writing you've done, if that isn't overarching question here.
In becoming aware of your own mortality, you become aware of our common mortality. We are all going to die, especially in a time like now when people can be so divided over politics or culture, gender, race. You know, it's kind of a wake-up call to go, wait a minute, we are all mortal, and there is more that unites us than divides us.
Talk about what this immunotherapy is.
Dr. Siddhartha Mukherjee wrote The Emperor of All Maladies, which is a great book about, won a Pulitzer Prize about cancer. And he says, we have entered a mapless moment in cancer, meaning for so many decades there have been promises of cures for cancer that never did come through. But suddenly oncologists are optimistic because this is something is really happening here with immunotherapy that gives hope to oncologists and therefore to all of us, people who have cancer or have loved ones with cancer or may someday get cancer, that it may someday be more like a chronic illness versus a terminal killer disease.
So the common name, the brand name of the medicine that turned things around for you is?
I think one of the main ones was Keytruda, the brand name. That's the immunotherapy drug that Jimmy Carter took when he thought he had weeks to live. Within months, he was cancer-free. That's one of the big ones, but I had multiple different immunotherapy trials throughout this process. The final tumors disappeared, not thanks to Keytruda, but thanks to another treatment, another genetically engineered virus that was injected into my tumors and had, over a year, had the response of eliminating the cancer from my cells.
Keytruda is really new. It was just coming on the market at the time
yes.
of your treatment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I was incredibly fortunate to be able to get that drug. You know, I was so fortunate to have good insurance and a great doctor. And so that's somehow how I lined up with the treatment schedule that I had. But, you know, like any cancer patient knows, there's times when you don't get what you've asked for from the insurance company, denies you. You know, you have to kind of do battle sometimes to get what you and your doctor think is the right treatment.
And it's expensive.
And it's very expensive.
It's about $40 per treatment, which alone doesn't sound like a lot. And sometimes insurance covers it and sometimes it doesn't. But how many treatments?
Well, it can be up to $100,000 a year, more than $100,000 a year. Like if you were getting Keytruda infusions every 3 weeks, which is what they do. That's incredibly expensive. And, you know, if you're lucky, like I am, you have insurance coverage that either pays for it or you find another way, which is how I happened to get the drug, because my cancer was not FDA approved for this particular drug. Mm. So you're threading a needle to try to get what you know you want and you really think might work.
I think it's a lung cancer drug, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, small cell lung cancer and melanoma.
Which is why.
And then it became FDA approved for head and neck long after I'd already begun it.
It's pointed out that immunotherapy doesn't work on all cancers.
Correct.
It also doesn't work for all people,
correct.
Even if the right cancer match. And then there's this possibility of developing a side immune disorder.
Correct. Yes, there is. It's a kind of rare thing to get this immune disorder, but I actually did end up having my immune system start to attack healthy organs, basically is what happens.
Did that at that point mean you could no longer take that
correct.
Immunotherapy?
That was a time where we thought, oh boy, this is going downhill again. But we took another approach and that worked. So I got very lucky there. Immunotherapy does not work for every cancer, not yet. And it does not always work for patients who have the cancers where it might work. I think it's about 40% of patients who have melanoma, say, or small cell lung cancer have a great response. And then there's many who have a partial response. But there's right now over 1,000 clinical trials going on across the globe trying to figure out immunotherapy, make it work for other cancers, what combinations, maybe different pathways to the tumors from the immune system will help. And so there's all kinds of work and focus going on in science on this matter.
I'm sure it's not lost on you that here you are in the midst of this experience with the talent and the life skills of being a writer and a reporter and saying, up to the heavens, really? This is what you want me to do? This is where
yeah.
you put me?
I'm so someone who was used to being kind of behind the scenes and telling other people's stories, and that was kind of my life's work. And then suddenly I'm part of the story now. So I find myself in a situation that would have been uncomfortable, but it is what it is.
I have a friend going through cancer, and at the very beginning, he was very, very private, and people were very protective.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as he's gone through it, his line is, my illness is community property.
You know, it started by just, I would say, I have cancer. And then I realized, no, we have cancer, meaning my husband and I, well, because we're both going through all these stages. And then it became more and more, you know, maybe this situation I'm in allows me to share and help others who are going through similar situations.
People knew the news. They knew what you were facing, and then you'd meet them on the street, and
exactly.
You were reading their eyes.
This was happening to me all the time. You know, people in my community, I live in Davis, people would see me on the streets and just be happy to see me walking down the street, but also, you know, I could see that they were confused.
Are you on any continuing medicine or
no,
treatment?
No, I'm in no treatment for cancer. I'm on no cancer. You know, I have some kind of leftover from surgeries and et cetera conditions, but mostly not.
So you have this really startling and unusual perspective as someone who was terminal and looking at the end of life, and someone who's just had the light shone on the future and being told you're completely cancer-free. What do you know now that you really want to say? And I'm guessing, knowing you, that that's not just people who have cancer.
I learned something, and I know others who face death learn this too. Life is beautiful and it's fragile. Don't take anything for granted. Those are the main, you know, lessons and the main things that I want to, though I'm not now facing imminent death as I was some years ago, I don't want to forget that that's what I learned. I want to still hold that every day. And I want to hope that in my talking about my story, others can get something from that and see some piece of that as well. You know, I want to continue to do what I've done before, which is write and try to find purpose in life, try to help others make the world a better place.
That was Melinda Welsh talking about her journey through and out of a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. You can hear more of our favorite conversations at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Insight is produced by Kate Gonzalez and Cody Drabble. Our digital team is Chris Hagen, Casey Gardner, and Emily Zentner. We had help from Helen Barrington and Antonio Munez. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.